Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And you can catch me on iTunes, Audio Booze. Go to Michael Ryan's Audio Booze on any iTunes search query or just letsworshipjesus.com. I want to encourage you with a word today. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And I hope it does just that. I hope it does encourage you in the Lord. So we can begin. Lord Jesus, I just want to come and thank you and just divide your word responsibly and with wisdom, God. I ask that you'd give me that wisdom and you'd speak through me through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that anyone listening would be filled with your Spirit and would go and spread wisdom to others and would grow in faith and be fruitful and obedient and cherish the gospel. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Let's go right in. It's a pretty powerful verse to me, and we'll may spend the whole 20 minutes talking about it, but let's jump in. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Know the God of your father, and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So the context of this verse is David is near the end of his life, and he desperately wanted to make a temple for God, a beautiful temple that just stood out among anything made by any other nations. Remember, they were when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt and they were in the desert, God had them build a tabernacle, which is pretty much just made with tents. Well, now David, with an established kingdom, really for the first time, a righteous kingdom with a righteous king, he wanted to make an amazing temple, but God said, listen, no, I don't want you making it. You have too much blood in your hand. I want your son Solomon to make it. And David, knowing that at that time his son Solomon was very young, he got all the items and the articles of silver and so forth needed just so he can have it set up for Solomon. David's at the end of his life, the end of his reign, and he's addressing all his people, and he's also addressing Solomon, and he's speaking to him directly, giving him his parting words of wisdom, and he's saying this, know the God of your father. He's speaking directly to Solomon, and it's fruitful for us, this verse. It's very fruitful. We can say it's like he's speaking to us. I mean, we know this is the word of God, and so God is speaking to us. But the most productive and fruitful and valuable thing you can do with your life, okay, regardless of your circumstances, the most powerful and useful thing you can do is to know God. To know God. That is the most fruitful thing you can do with however many years you're assigned to spend on this planet. In fact, not only is it fruitful, it's something to be proud of. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not a mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. How well do you know God? What steps have you taken to personally know God today? And I put that question, I challenge you with that. Do you know God? And here are some tips. Here are some tips that at least I've gleaned from my own personal walk as I grow in knowing him to really help. Read his word. How can you know God without reading scripture? How can you get to know someone that was someone without listening to them? I mean, when you are courting somebody and dating somebody, you can't get to know them with your ears shut, and every time they start speaking about themselves, you just go into la-la land, right? You have to listen to them. You have to listen to the words that they speak. You have to cherish their words, remember their words. As you remember their words, you remember things about them. You listen underneath the words, and you get the heart of what they're saying through their words. Likewise, you've got to live by that, hearing his word. Jesus says in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. So memorize scripture, memorize his promises. David says, I hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. How can you trust in God's promises if you don't know the content of his promises? How can you remember those things when you're feeling encouraged or discouraged and you want to be encouraged? How can you do that if you don't know the promises to help comfort you? How can you build someone else up if you don't know what else God says? The longest chapter in the Bible is about God's word. And, you know, that came from David in Psalm 119. It's about the word of God. And is it any wonder then that it says that David was a man after God's own heart? Well, I mean, I think it has something to do with the fact that he loved what God had to say. You be the same. Love what God has to say. He knew God. And you'll come to find that he has a word for every single situation, every type of situation or feeling or emotion or circumstance that you're in. He has a word in the scriptures to encourage you. Second thing you can do to know him is listen to him when you pray. Listen for him. Listen how he prompts you. He says, seek him and you will find him. He says that, you know, call on me and I will answer you in Jeremiah 33:3. So take time to be there when he shows up and hear how he leads you. He says in Hebrews 11 that without faith, you cannot please him. You must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek and search out for him. If that's the case, then when he shows up, where are you? When you're sitting with him in your prayer, if all you're doing is talking, well, that's good that you're talking to God, but what are you getting back from him? Oh, I don't hear anything back. It's silent. Well, listen closely. Listen with your spirit. Listen with faith. Faith is the most precious thing that you have. If I was just to tell someone who didn't have faith in Christ to listen to God, they'd look at me like I had three heads. What do you mean? God's invisible. God can't speak. But when someone has faith, they realize that faith is the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the bridge between hearing and the invisible God. It's that Holy Spirit in you that dwells in you if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ that now allows you to hear God and to sense his prompting, to sense him prompting you to open up a piece of scripture or to pray for somebody. Just sitting down listening to him. He may put someone on your heart to go pray for or to call or something to ask him about or something to talk to him about or something to confess. But take time to listen to him. Thirdly, walk as he walked. Be obedient. 1 John 2:4 says, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not obey him is a liar and the truth is not in him. Doing what he says brings you closer to him. You come to know him more as you obey his voice and you walk as Jesus walked. You know, when they use that common expression that you don't know a man until you walk in their shoes, it's the same way. It's as you walk in his shoes, as you try to do the right thing and you experience that persecution or you experience that temptations that you try to follow God, then you say, oh, wow, God, Jesus must have experienced these same temptations when he tried to do the right thing. He must have been attacked by the enemy the same way I'm being attacked. And what did he do? Oh, he went away to a mountain and he prayed, or he withdrew himself from people and he went and he called on God, or he spent all night in the wilderness or all night in a mountain praying. And you can now identify with that because you're walking in his shoes trying to obey. Moving on, that second part of that verse says, so it starts with know the God of your father, and I wanted to take time to talk about knowing him. And then it says, and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. It's got to be both heart and mind. It's really easy to have it one and not the other. It's I have a heart towards the Lord, but my mind is not willing, or my mind is for the Lord, but I'm not really into it emotionally. It's very difficult, or not even emotionally, because we can't control our emotions, but just that oomph behind it, that hope behind it. It makes serving that much more potent when it's both there. And sometimes it's hard. It says in Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Sometimes obedience just helps to get your mind, to jumpstart your mind into doing what you don't feel like doing by just obeying, committing to God and honoring it every day. If you've been saved by the gospel, if you have been on a path to hell and the deep pit and living the eternity and just suffering in fire, and you recognize that God came down and was broken for you, and now not only does he want to take you from making your destiny eternal damnation, but also to live in you and give you a life that's filled with just his spirit and fruit, and then take you away to eternity in paradise with him. If that has got you saved and you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, well, guess what? Jesus said one commandment, to love. That's it. Love. Love, love, love. Once you made your mind to commit to Jesus as your master, Well, how do you call him master and not obey him? So you obey him. Well, you make that commitment and you honor it every day. You don't decide to listen to Jesus every day. You honor it every day. You don't recommit every day. You simply honor the initial commitment that you made. That one-time commitment you made when you became born again, you simply honor that every single day. You don't recommit. It's important. I know it's a, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. You're already in it. You're just recognizing it and continuing on in something you've already entrusted yourself to. You got to put a double effort into your faith. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." When soldiers aren't at war, are they just chilling out and eating, you know? A good soldier is still working out. They're taking care of their body, taking care of their health. They're strengthening whatever skill that they have. A good soldier, right? Same thing with you. And in any case, in any way you can, always be trying to strengthen your faith, strengthen yourself. It helps you put the double effort in. When you are just on your game at church or on your game of your devotional, what happens in between those points, though? What happens when you're on the road or you're driving and someone cuts you off, or you're at home with a spouse and there's conflict, or you're at school and someone says something, or at work and something happens, or you get a bad phone call? You've always got to be in active service, doing something, praying, meditating, singing songs, having it in the background. If you don't have that available, it's fine. That's why I mentioned earlier, memorize scripture. Have that something that you can just say. Always be alert, able to. Putting that double effort into your faith, a willing mind, a whole heart, that is going to give you the edge. You know, an eternal perspective helps to give you a willing mind and a whole heart. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Don't lose the eternal perspective, because when you realize that we're going to heaven, this is not it. You're going to be living for billions and billions and billions and billions and millions and millions of years. This is just a small, insignificant fraction of it. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, "I don't even compare the sufferings of this world to be on a worthy scale to what God's prepared for us," because we have an eternity of infinite happiness in the Lord. That's the eternal place. Keep your mind focused on that. Hebrews 12, get your eyes focused on the author and finisher of our faith. Focused on that one direction. Always, don't let the bills, don't let the stress, don't let the conflict, don't let the argument, don't let the sin, don't let whatever it is get your mind off that number one thing, the prize of the upward call of faith in Jesus Christ. That is going to keep you persevering, because it's so easy to be distracted by this and that, by this emotion, that failure, that thought, that person, that thing that the person did, that bitterness that comes up, whatever it may be. Always keep your eyes focused on heaven, 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 God living in me. I have peace with God. I'm moving closer towards the Lord. I'm forgiven. It's important. It really is. It really is. Let me see how much time we have left here. Okay, 6 minutes. There's the third part of this I want to get to. In the verse where it says, "The Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts." God knows you. It's a good idea to know God back, right? He knows you. He knows you. He knows your thoughts, your mind, your fears, your worries, your habits, your addictions, your pain, your anger, your bitterness, your joys, everything about you he knows. And it's amazing to think, just think for a second, that you can know him like that as well. You can know his mind. It says in Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. You can know his the way he thinks. You can understand what makes him angry. You know, you can understand what pains him. You know, you can know what he loves, what he hates, what he despises, what he cares about, what he delights in, what he thinks about certain situations. You can know all that, but he knows all that about you. You're not alone. Take comfort in the security of God during the hard times in your life. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heed, I've overcome the world." I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, if I turn on one of these Christian stations where they just randomly let anyone who just speaks God just go on a station, you hear something about coming out of suffering and not suffering, and faith that allows you to have a life where suffering is just, you're on the high end of it. That's not the message of the cross. It says in the scriptures that we enter into Christ's sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings. It says in 2 Corinthians that anyone who desires to live godly will be persecuted. It says that in 2 Peter that there our enemy, Satan, goes around like a lion, like a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. Paul says, put on armor, fight, because we're in spiritual warfare here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 that even though we live in the flesh, we don't use our war of the flesh, we use them of the spirit, because we're warring. We're having to constantly cast down thoughts and things that go against the authority of Christ, right? He talks about disciplining himself, you know, running the race and disciplining himself. I mean, it's just, we have to be on our game all the time, and suffering happens. It happens if you live in this world. The Romans 8 says the world is falling apart to the cracks. It's like a woman in her end stages of labor. Have you ever been around a woman who's at the end stage of labor? It's intense. It's frequent. It's overwhelming. It's just bubbling up, and that's what's going on in the world. And you're going to be affected in it because you live in the world. It's going to be pain. It's going to be heartache. And it doesn't mean that God's not there. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Well, God loves me. Why does suffering happen? Because we live in a fallen world. Now, if you're in heaven and suffering's happen, that's a different thing. But he says, I wipe away all your fears. I wipe away your tears. No more pain, no more mourning, no more sadness, no more death. Because this is just a fallen place. It wasn't designed to be this way, but we made it this way with our sin. It's the result of our sin, But God loves us, so he's there in the midst of it. So when we've had difficult times, he's rescued us out of it, or given us perspective in it, or given us the strength to persevere through it, or giving us a power in the midst of it, so we know he exists. But isn't that more of a testimony of God? Not that he made you have a life that didn't have suffering, but that he gave you power in the suffering. Isn't that more a testimony that he is strong? But he knows you. He knows you. And it's, you can take comfort in him during the time... during times of trouble. He knows you and he wants you to know him back. You're in a relationship with him. You're in a relationship with the creator of the universe. And it's an amazing one. Lastly, seek him. Run after him. The last part of the verse says, if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Seek him, seek him, seek him. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It says in the Psalms, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Psalm 119:2, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who obey his word, who seek him with all their heart. Psalm 40:16, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. If you don't seek him, you won't know him. If you don't know him, you won't enjoy him. You won't have the abundant life Jesus speaks of in John 10, where he says, I have not come only to give life, but life abundantly. And don't you want that life? It begins and ends with knowing Christ. It begins and ends with knowing Christ. That is a life. That is the abundant life. Let's see if I have enough time. I want to maybe go read in Philippians. Paul talks about this. He hits it on the nail. He realized that knowing Christ is the best thing for him. He says in Philippians 3:8, whatever things were gained in me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of what? Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them garbage so that I may gain Christ. He continues and says in verse 9, and may be found in him, not having righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And check this out, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Friends, know the Lord. Know the Lord. Know the Lord. That doesn't matter where you're at, where your circumstances are. I don't know. I don't even know if we're talking in the same generation right now. I don't even know. But the best thing you can do, whatever the times, however the times are, is to know Jesus. And do you know him today? Do you know him? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? And if you're born again and saved, Do you have fellowship with him? Do you know him? Have you been in his word? Do you have a scripture memorized? Do you know what he thinks? Do you know what he has to say? Has he been speaking to you today? Or have you been listening to what he's been saying to you today? Because he speaks to us every day. So I hope that really just gets your mind thinking, gets your heart, gets your spirit moving. Lord Jesus, thank you. Pray for those who've heard this, Lord, that you'd fill them up with your spirit. In your name, amen.